y'all. Thanks for coming back to listen to another episode of Kudzu Killers, Homicide and Sweet Tea.
Starting today, we're going to be bringing you a new mini-episode each and every Friday.
In 15 minutes or so, we hope to bring you an interesting tidbit about crime or procedure or a story we feel you'll like, but we just don't have enough information available for a full episode.
We hope you enjoy these tasty morsels of good old Southern Gothic mayhem.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and enjoy yourself.
On with the show.
Hey, Kim.
How's it going?
Awesome.
Have you ever thought about what's going to happen to you when you die?
You bet.
Because we're all going there, you know.
Yeah, I know. Ain't got no choice.
I mean, you can choose to be cremated, you can choose to be buried or, you know, tossed at sea. But one thing you can do is donate your body to science.
Mm-hmm.
And you can donate it to one of the seven, count them, seven body farms across the U.S.
Wow, seven?
Seven.
Oh, my God.
Seven body farms across
the U.S. I thought we were totally special, like, you know, having one in our backyard.
No, they're everywhere. But, you know, Texas does have the biggest one. But I'll get to that.
Well, there you go. Of course we do.
So people out there may be wanting to know what a body farm is. Well,
explain
us,
man.
If you're a fan of Patricia Cornwell's books or you've watched Criminal Minds or some of those TV shows like that, you've probably heard about a body farm. But do you know what happens with the body farm?
I do.
Yeah.
But please tell us more.
But our people out there might.
No. You go for it.
The first one was at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville and was created by a professor there named William Bass in 1972. And then he opened it up for study in 1981. He came up with the idea after being asked by the police to study a corpse that they'd found in a grave in a Civil War cemetery, a colonel by the name of William Shy.
Cool.
Now, the police saw that the grave was disturbed. And so they went and investigated, and when they dug up the corpse, it didn't look like a corpse from 100 years ago. So they thought, well, we need to bring this guy in. We know he's an expert in decay of bodies, so we need to bring him in. Let him see if he thinks this body is fresh. Maybe somebody's trying to hide a crime, and they dug up the colonel's grave, and they're putting the body in there.
That totally makes sense.
So William Bass agreed to come and take a look at it, and he did, and he saw that the skin was kind of pinker than he thought it should be. And so he told the police he felt like it was less than a year old.
Wow.
At the time. Well, when the forensics lab took it in and did some tests on it, they found out that, nope, it actually was the colonel. They did some testing on his teeth and everything, but he was just embalmed really well, and he'd been sealed up in a casket airtight for all the 100
years. Wow.
We don't know why the ground was disturbed. Maybe it was animals, or maybe it's a case for our paranormal people out there.
There you go.
But with this information, you know, that really kind of ticked Bass off. He's like, well, shoot, I was wrong. So
yeah.
I got to figure out why I was wrong.
I got to fix this.
Yeah. So it's my reputation at stake. So he decided that there needed to be a lot more study about the decomposition of dead bodies. He wanted to know what happens with them. Up until that time, the studies had all been done on pigs because pigs, especially skin and organs, are most closely resembling to humans. I studied some viruses in skin, some human viruses in skin, like warts. We used pig skin because it was the closest to human skin.
Cool.
Yeah. So back then, pig skin was the standard. And he said, pig skin's not cutting it anymore because I made this huge mistake and made myself look foolish. So we're not going to go there anymore. So he decided to open a body farm.
Wow.
And he started it on the University of Tennessee campus in Knoxville. It was small. It's only 1.3 acres, but he got enough bodies on there to start doing some testing and finding out what's going on. Now, there are seven across the U.S., like I said. The biggest one is here in Texas. mm-hmm. at Texas State University in San Marcos on a place called Freeman Ranch down there.
Over the years, close. Yeah. I can't smell it, but oh, so close.
Over the years, thousands of people have signed up to decay at these body farms. At the University of Tennessee, there are 4,000 people on the waiting list to donate themselves to science and spend eternity outdoors.
Oh, wow. Well, I have a question, though. Do I need to wait my questions?
Yeah, you probably need to wait your
questions. Okay, go ahead.
You probably get your answer here.
Okay, maybe.
So, yeah. Or they're going to spend, you know, a few years hanging out on the body farm. But this is the way it goes. Generally, each body farm has its own procedures of how they do things, how they set up the bodies, how they keep track of who is who out there as their, you know, flesh is rotting. So they take photographs and they take measurements of the corpses and they take blood samples and hair samples, and they assign a number to each one and put them on a grid so that they know specifically where that person's body is and they can keep track of the studies. There are about 50 to 150 bodies observed at any given time in the one, I believe, here in Texas. But it depends on which university is at and how much room they have for bodies, how much, you know, how many they have hanging out at any given time, right?
Gotcha.
Sometimes they're covered in wire mesh cages to keep out animals and things like that from predators from messing up with the samples. But sometimes they're not, because they want to see what it would look like if, say, a coyote or a fox came in and started, you know, doing their nightly hunting and scavenging on the body.
Right.
Sometimes they're left in water tanks. Sometimes they're left tied to trees. Or placed in car trunks, just so they can see what the effect is after they've been there for a while.
You know, you sound a little gleeful about that right there. Go ahead.
I'm in my element, let's put it that way.
You are.
You know, because when a body's decaying, there's certain – the process of decay is very it's kind of set in stone. This mm-hmm. each step follows the next, and it's always in the same order.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when they put these bodies out there, they keep monitors with them to track the temperature and the humidity and the heat index and things like that, so that they know exactly what environmental factors went into this decay of this body. Now, once the carcass has decayed to bone, the bones are even kept in an archive to be used for research purposes, such as developing procedures or testing protocols. The data collected on these body farms is used for not just better estimates of time of death and things like that, but like I said, also because the bodies decay at pretty much the same exact order of steps, mm-hmm. the markers of that decay can be used when searching for a body by measuring the various chemicals that can accumulate in the soil around the body, and they come out as the decay happens in a very specific order, so they can tell if they have a certain level of this chemical being emitted into the soil around the body. They know, hey, it's been here for approximately 3 weeks, you know, things like that.
Right.
So that, and they even use this information for investigation of cases, international cases, like for the UN, for genocides, when they find mass graves of people who have been murdered. So they can use this information to find out when the massacre occurred.
Right. To test the ground next to the body. Is that what you mean? Like in a big pit of
people? They can test the ground next to the body and, next mm-hmm. to the bodies and see by what chemicals have been released so far into the soil at what point of decomposition they are.
Mm-hmm. Science.
Science has also used the body farm to study something called the necrobiome. The necrobiome is pretty much what it sounds like. Necro, for mm-hmm. most of us who are sick and twisted people, know it means having to do with a corpse or death. And a biome is basically a community of animals and insects and bacteria that live in a specific place. So the necrobiome really is all of the animals and insects and bacteria and things like that that are in the specific area around the body. And that's what they study. Mm-hmm. They can tell by what bacteria are there, what insects are present, what larvae are present, and things like that in the habitat or in the biome, how long the body's been there by various stages that the flora and fauna are in when they find the body.
Cool.
Now, for the last couple decades, the FBI has used the body farm in Tennessee to train their analysts and agents. So those people you see on Criminal Minds that are out there investigating those bodies that they find in their show would have been trained at the Tennessee body farm that William Bass started.
Mm-hmm.
The course they take is called the FBI Laboratories Recovery of Human Remains course. They learn how to dig up the remains using the grid method and how to document every step of the process as they're digging them up and where they find them and what position they were in, take photographs. The FBI feels that the training is really important because it decreases the chance of somebody making a mistake and tainting evidence that they might be offering in court in a case against the murderer if they should find out who it is.
Exactly.
There are currently body farms at places in various parts of the country to give a large picture of the various climates that we can find, you know, that are investigated that people bury bodies in. The original one, of course, is in at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. But there are others located at West Carolina University, which opened in 2006. At Texas State University, like I said, the largest one, which opened in 2008, and it's 4,200 acres.
Wow.
Yeah, because we're Texas, we got to have the biggest one.
Well, hey, you know, not only that, but it's so freaking hot down here in the South. No wonder, because, you know, Tennessee, Texas, they're gonna decompose a lot differently. You probably can do that in the North, where it's cold or the ground freezes.
Well, they don't have one in the North, but they have one northern from there. But there's two in Texas, actually. There's another one at Sam Houston State near a forested area, so they can study, you know, because the Angeles National Forest has a lot of dead bodies found in it all the time.
Oh, you
so
know
probably
what?
Probably they can put that in a forest area. You know, they can study how the body breaks down there. Yes, you know, ma'am, what gory story do you have to tell?
Well, when you said Sam Houston State, that made me think of, you know, our favorite FBI person who we can't name, but he's a wonderful friend of ours. He went to college there.
Oh, yeah, Sam Houston.
Cool. So now that you said that, I bet you anything he did is his little time on that body farm. I might have to double check. Oh, my God.
Well, it only opened in, I don't think it opened very long ago. So he may not have caught it there. He may have done his at the one in Tennessee, though.
Because
that's usually where they send them to get that kind of training.
Okay. So yeah, gotcha.
We got to have him on here one of these days to interview.
I know. I'm doing
just
my magic
needs to get
on
over his shyness.
You guys would love this guy. He's so awesome. But he's you know, he's kind of sworn to secrecy and a little bit shy.
We can put a black hood over his head
while he talks on the microphone. That's a good plan. Yeah,
we can muffle his voice. Yeah, we can. I have no idea how to do that, but we can tell him we do.
well, it's something to look forward to, but I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. Back to where they're located. There's one in Southern Illinois University, which is not far from where I grew up. There's one at Colorado Mesa University. Mm-hmm. There's one at the University of South Florida, which is really interesting. It should be giving them some good information on high humidity and heat. And there are also several facilities around the world. They're starting to open them up everywhere so that they can study all kinds of different climates. One opened in 2016 in Australia near Yarramundi. I hope I said that right to all our Australian friends.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in Canada that was actually created by the person who created the Australian body farm. It's near Bécancour. I hope I said that right because it's in Quebec and I'm not a French speaker. and there's also one in the UK, but currently it's not studying humans yet, or at least in the information I saw, maybe they've started since the articles I've read were written. But right now it studies the pigskin, like I talked about before.
Mm-hmm, right.
Now, of course, there are protesters who don't like the body farms because they feel that it is disturbing and they don't like them. My answer to that is don't go there.
That's right.
You know,
I'll ship you a bottle of mentholatum.
Let's put some Vicks Vapo Rub under your
skin.
I think that's a fallacy from Silence of the Lambs. I don't actually think they do that, but
I'm sure.
Know,
but
it makes good for TV, you know.
Yeah. From what I understand, you just need to get used to it and get over it.
That's right. Now, if you want to donate your body
mm-hmm.
to a body farm, and I know there are some folks out here who do because I talked to one of them the other day.
Yeah, me too.
You can. You need to let that boy donate his body to science. Science.
Please continue.
But at the one at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, I mean, you might as well go there. Go big or go home, right?
Exactly. My philosophy.
You can donate to the first and the best by calling. Here's the number. Got your pencils?
I'm ready.
865-806-5106. That's 865-806-5106. Or you can email them at donateinfo@utk.edu. That's donateinfo@utk.edu. Now, y'all go out there and call them and donate your bodies. There's a waiting list.
That's amazing. Now,
they do not accept AIDS patients, people who've died of AIDS, of hepatitis, of TB, of any kind of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, or COVID-19 at this point.
Wow.
There's no cost to donate if you're in... Sorry. There's no cost to donate if you're within 100 miles. They'll come and get you.
So, oh, I should stop that. Go ahead.
But I think if... I think if you're farther than 100 miles, you got to ship yourself there. So, you know, add that to your funeral expenses. They don't want you embalmed because that screws with their science, folks.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, makes you sense. Know, just have your loved ones wrap you up in a sheet and stick you in a plastic suit bag and mail you.
Ship you in
FedEx.
A basket. FedEx. Shout
FedEx
out to my
overnight.
Ex-husband.
Well, I hope you learned everything you never wanted to know about the body farms out there.
Well, I have another question. I have a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously, one of my questions was, if I were to donate my body, would my family be paid? So apparently that's
no.
A no.
No, ma'am.
Bummer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that nixes a lot of things. Okay. So the other question was.
Never for free. That's what the Mark's motto.
It's so true. So my next question is, okay, well, if say my significant other wants to donate his body to the body farm,
yeah, which
he
does
by the way.
Yes, ma'am. You call those numbers I gave you. Would you like those numbers again?
No, thank you.
But you're responsible for wrapping him up and sticking him in the car and driving him on over there.
Especially since I don't get any remuneration financially for him. But
I bet you can drive him on up to San Marcos and stick him in there somewhere.
Well, I could get him to San Marcos, but I don't think I could get him to Tennessee. But my other question was, since I'm basically family, right? So family for real. Could I visit him, or would I know where his plot was, or, you know?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure you'd want to.
No, but you never know. I mean, seriously. I probably would not. I'm sure that I would not. But, hey, you never know.
The person out there, and you know who you are, that talked to me on Twitter the other day, one of our fellow podcasters,
yeah.
He wanted his wife to come and visit him. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That'd be something to ask him. I didn't run across that because I'm thinking most people don't want to go look at their dead and decaying and rotting corpse of their loved one. So,
well, I don't want him to go there in the first place, but that's not the point. You
know? I'm telling you,
cut off
a little piece of the butt and stick it in some formaldehyde, and you can have your remembrance of him, and then send ship off the rest of his body to the body farm. It's science, people.
Well, I told him I was going to start saving hair, and he said, "You're creeping me out." So we dropped it.
That's going back to our, you know, Carl and the corpse.
Yeah, y'all need to dial back to Carl and the corpse, and that'll all make sense. Oh, well, I should. Okay, well.
All right. Any more questions from you?
From the peanut gallery? No. Yeah. I guess I'm satisfied for now, but I'm going to hide that phone number from him. So there.
I'll give it to him. If you, you know, significant other, if you're out there, let me know.
Who, by the way, does our music? Let's just say that.
Yeah, same guy that does our music, and he wants to go to the body farm, and I admire him for that.
Okay.
I personally want to be cremated so I can make sure I don't try to dig my way out of the coffin, but, you know, that's my paranoia.
There you go. Well, I haven't made my mind up because I'm probably going to just be immaculately ascended, so it doesn't matter. Yes. I really don't know.
You people are starting to learn who you're listening to.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think that we're probably having far too much fun with corpses, etc. today. So anything else, well, Kim?
That's going to be it. That's going to be it. That's going to do for our show today. Forensic Fridays. It's always a cut up.
Y'all have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye now. Hey, y'all, did you ever think, I can do as good a job as those goobers on Kudzu Killers? Want to start your own podcast?
It's easy to get started with Buzzsprout. You don't need any special equipment, just a computer or a phone with a good built-in microphone and a quiet space. You can even use your closet.
Just click on the link in our YouTube teaser trailer notes so Buzzsprout knows we sent you, and get a $20 gift card from Amazon for starting your own show.
Buzzsprout can even help you decide what equipment to upgrade with when you feel like you're ready to get, say, a better mic.
Buzzsprout will get your show listed on all the major platforms out there like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify, and some of the smaller ones as well. We have listeners all over the world.
Yep, and Buzzsprout's support staff are great and always quick to respond to any questions you might have. They want you to succeed.
So join us and thousands of other podcasters who use Buzzsprout to get our message to the world.
Podcasting is easy when you have the right partners, especially Kim. But Buzzsprout is the best.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye, y'all.